Coming up today, staff writer Joy Lucius describes her experience in the Dominican Republic with Operation Christmas Child.
Jeff, for a moment, there's absolute silence. And then absolute joyous chaos. I literally videoed and turned off the site just to hear the sound.
Then, Jeff King of International Christian Concern will tell us about Christian persecution around the globe and the places where the church is growing exponentially.
And they murdered their way and jailed their way through the leadership of the church, and it got stronger and stronger. So there might be 200 million Christians in China now, and a vibrant, dedicated church.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Well, every year, individuals and churches come together to bless children around the world with simple Christmas gifts packed in shoeboxes. Of course, I'm talking about Operation Christmas Child from Samaritan's Purse. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's a little early to be talking about that. But just this past week, a staff writer from The Stand magazine got a chance to see what it was like meeting some of the children and the families who've received those boxes. Joy Lucius has just returned from the Dominican Republic, and I've asked her to join me today. Hi, Joy. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
And I know you probably got a little jet lag still recovering from your trip, but
I really, really do.
Yeah. I want to talk about that. So tell us how you got to be a part of this trip in the first place.
Well, as a writer for The Stand magazine and The Stand blog, I get to write about some amazing ministries. And a couple of those blogs have been about my children, who are adults,
right,
and the shoeboxes they packed as children. One of them was a very meaningful story to our family about our son who died about 18 months ago, and a shoebox he packed many, many years ago. And so our vice president, who is close to the same age as my son who died, he asked me, Joy, would you be interested in going to the Dominican Republic with OCC? And of course I said, yes.
Of course.
So that was my invitation, and it was an amazing experience.
And of course, OCC is in-house talk for Operation Christmas
Child, in case people
are wondering about that. Okay, so tell us about the Dominican Republic, and what sort of spiritual atmosphere did you encounter down there?
Well, I did my research before I left. I love history, and I love to do research. And so I discovered that traditionally they've been about 50% Catholic. But in the last 20 years, the evangelical church in the Dominican Republic has grown by as much as 12 to 15%.
Okay.
So I knew that going in, and I also knew that they have a intertwined history with Haiti,
okay,
because it's the same piece of land, the
same island. Yeah.
So that was really interesting to me as well, because the Dominican Republic is such a beautiful, prosperous island nation, and we all know the condition that Haiti is in. And so that was really a juxtaposition of looking at things.
You've known about Operation Christmas Child for a while. Was there anything that surprised you that you did not expect to see when you got down there?
Yes, I was very surprised on several fronts. I am a retired public school teacher, and I've been on numerous trips overseas to help with educational efforts in smaller countries. And so I thought I would be a veteran, but I was shocked by the absolute passion that the teachers that volunteer and do work with Operation Christmas Child, how passionate they were. I was so convicted, Jeff.
Wow, really?
Because their heart is truly not just for the children, but for the salvation of the children. That surprised me. I also was surprised that OCC, Operation Christmas Child, and Samaritan Purse, their goal is that every child, at least once in their lifetime, receives a shoebox from someone else in the world to share the love of Jesus.
Okay. So you were down there and there was a distribution going on when you were there?
Yes.
What was that like, seeing the children actually receive those boxes?
Well, it was amazing. And what Samaritan's Purse does is they invite ministry partners like American Family Association, American Family Radio, and we get several opportunities to go and see distribution of the shoeboxes. So the first day we went to the first church to distribute the shoeboxes. And the other thing that shocked me is the children don't know when they come to this party, to this church event, that they're going to receive a gift.
Oh,
they
okay.
come
All right.
to enjoy the fellowship of the other children and to learn more about Jesus. They have no clue that they're getting a gift.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And so when you come in and you see there are kids there from ages 2 through 14 in a very small setting, small church. And Jeff, the amazing thing is they would get their shoeboxes, and they have a tradition in the DR where they teach the children to close their eyes and hold out their hands. And the first gift they get is the booklet, the little colored booklet for the Greatest Journey story.
Okay, okay.
And honestly, they were as excited about that little book as the gifts. And so they first get their little booklet, and then she goes through the process of explaining to them that the teacher on site, that all of us are broken. And
okay.
she uses a variety of ways to show them. And she tells them, you know, that only God can put you back together and only God can make us whole. And then she explains to them, and then the other things in life, when he puts you back together and he makes you whole and he gives you the salvation through his son Jesus, everything else is just an extra added blessing and gift. And that's where the shoeboxes come
in. I see.
Okay. That was amazing. So each of the children, we personally got to pass out, our team of 12 people from all over the United States,
okay.
we got to take the shoeboxes and pass them out. And I'm going to be honest, I raise boys, so I'm like, give me the boy gifts. I want to pass out the boy gifts. And so we pass them out, and they make them wait, which is, it's so hard. It's so sweet to see the two-year-olds trying to wait.
Yeah.
And they wait, and then they go, 1, 2, 3, open. And Jeff, for a moment, there's absolute silence. It's almost like they can't believe that this is theirs. And then absolute joyous chaos. I literally videoed and turned off the site just to hear the sound, because I told my husband,
cool.
heaven is a whole lot closer to us than it was 2 years ago before Chris died. And I told my husband, I said, I think that is what it must be like to enter heaven. For the first few moments, you must be absolutely in awe and you don't have anything to say. You're just in awe of Jesus and what he's done for you.
Yeah.
And then the absolute joy that must erupt when you see him and you see all the people that you love waiting on you and the eternity that you're going to have with him and his family. That's the sound. It was amazing, Jeff.
What a vivid picture you've painted for us, and it just makes me want to see that as well. So you got a chance to see that. And I love the way that they present the gospel before the boxes open. And these boxes really are used as a means to get into the lives of the children and the families. I mean, they want to bless them, but there's a deeper and more eternal goal behind that, and that is to introduce them to Jesus Christ.
It's truly a tool.
Okay.
We send the tool, the key to open the door. And then once the door is opened, after they receive their Christmas gifts, before they go home, they're invited back for 12 Saturdays to come and study the Greatest Journey. And so half of the kids that receive that book will come back. And in the Dominican Republic, since they were there, OCC first came there in the late 90s. Since that time, there have been over 2 million shoeboxes brought into the net. Yes.
Wow.
And half of those children enrolled in those 12 classes, those 12 Saturday classes. When they graduate, then in that time period, just in last year, in the entire country, over 700,000 children have given their hearts to their Lord because of that shoebox that opened the door. And here's the even greater statistic. Those children who become followers of Christ, it has been proven through the years since the 90s that sevenfold of their family and their friends come to Christ because of that.
That is so
amazing.
That's
eight people because of a shoebox.
You know, I'm thinking, Joy, that this is culturally transforming because you look at an island like the Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. right there with Haiti, and you see 700,000 children coming
yes.
to Christ. That is going to affect that country. In the next 20 years, you'll see a massive change.
It already is. We saw the testimony of a young man who was raised in a relatively wealthy country, had mm-hmm. been to, he was Catholic, had been to in church his whole life,
yeah.
and he got a shoebox. And he said, I'd always been very self-centered, very selfish, and I got the shoebox. He got one of those that would have been like the 10 to 14 age group. And he said, when I got that box, he said, somehow it was an epiphany, a moment for me where I realized that somewhere in the world, somebody, a Christian, cares about me so much that they would do this for me, and yet I don't care about anybody else around me. And he said, so it was the tool that took all the things that my parents had taught me and my church had taught me, and it made it real. And so I gave my heart to the Lord. And today he is an executive in a company down there, and he's changing the world. And then we saw another totally opposite story of a young man who was literally, his dad was a violent alcoholic. His mother had no choice but to turn him out. And he was living in the streets and literally living in a doghouse. And so a church brought him in and found a family to raise him. And one of the first experiences he had in that church was an OCC shoebox.
Okay.
And so then we see pictures of this young man now as an adult and what he's doing and evangelizing with his life from the streets to the pulpit because of a shoebox.
Wow. Joy, thank you so much for painting that picture for us, and you've motivated us. Now, tell us what the need is, because as we look forward to the collection schedule coming up for 2025, we need more boxes. That's
yes.
the bottom line.
Yes, that is the bottom line, because once again, it is a tool. It's a key.
Okay.
And no matter, there have been 20 million boxes into that country.
Okay.
But every country on the face of the earth, we need more boxes, more keys to open the door to the homes
yep.
and the hearts of those children. So that is the main prayer that
okay.
the leadership of OCC in the Dominican Republic ask us, more shoeboxes, because they represent more children, more salvations. But the other thing is they ask for us to pray for more team members there, because everything we saw was carried out by unpaid volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, the majority of them, over 80% of those volunteers that we saw were public school teachers
okay.
in the Dominican Republic. That convicted me so badly. And so they need more ministry partners. And then the final prayer really touched my heart. They wanted us to pray for Haiti. Instead of praying for them as much, they asked that we pray for Haiti and for keys that God can open the door and save those children, save those people, and free them from the bondage they're under.
What a mission. And the marching orders are clear before us. So let me give you the website if you'd like to check that out and make plans this coming season to organize your church or your community organization or whatever influence you have. The website is SamaritansPurse.org. SamaritansPurse.org. And then there's a tab called What We Do, and then you can find Operation Christmas Child, or you can simply do a search online for Operation Christmas Child. And you can check out all of the great writing that Joy Lucius does for us on The Stand magazine. Joy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
The Bible exhorts all followers of Jesus to remember the persecuted. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." Well, here to help us understand what kind of persecution is going on in the world right now and how we can pray effectively is Jeff King. He's one of the world's leading experts on religious persecution and serves as president of International Christian Concern. Mr. King, welcome back to the Stan Radio.
Jeff, it's an honor to be with you.
Now, you've also recently released the 2025 Global Persecution Index, which is an annual report. So tell us, what are some of the changes that stand out to you?
I think there's where to start. You know, unfortunately, persecution is a growth industry. And so it could be like the whack-a-mole game. You know, you stamp it down in one area, it pops up in another. So where I always start, though, is what's going on in Nigeria.
Okay.
And this is a story that's been going on for 20 years, Jeff, as you know. It's, you know, there's been up to 100,000 Christians murdered. 3.5 million Christian farmers have had their lands stolen. And the government never does anything. And that's because radical Islamists control the police, the army, the intel. So all they do is come to the United States and say, you know, gosh, it's hard to find these guys. Give us $1 billion for helicopters. And and then strangely, we cough up. But so that's Nigeria. Syria, you know, another country in the Middle East that's been emptied of Christians. And then here's a real disturbing one is in there's a region in Africa called the Sahel. And most people have no idea where this is, but it's kind of like the top third of Africa, and it stretches all the way from the left coast to the right. And this is crazy. So a lot of this has become lawless territory. It's really owned by ISIS, complete radical Islam. And they are trying to rebuild what's called a caliphate, which is just an Islamic kingdom, and where they can spread, you know, attacks and be a safe haven. Now, here's the curious thing, Jeff. If you look at the main tribe in Nigeria that's doing the killing, is called the Fulanis.
Right.
And if anybody can do this exercise, so go out and find a good map of where the Fulanis are in Africa. And then you pull up a map, where is Islamic terror in Africa? And you overlay those two, it's very clear what's going on. The Fulanis are the driver of persecution in a lot of Africa.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the Democratic Republic of the Congo? Is anything going on in that particular area?
Wow, it's such a mess. It's, you know, again, most people could barely point to this place or know where it's at, and I totally get that. But DRC, for short, is a massive country in Africa. It's right in the center of Africa. Tremendous mineral wealth, all kinds of things. So it is in play, and all kinds of groups are trying to take it over. But one of them, the key one, is the ADF, and this is a radical Islamic terror group. But in this country, this is hard to believe, over the last 20 years, 6 million people have been murdered. This is a 98% Christian country. So the ADF isn't doing all the killing, but they are the biggest killer of Christians, and they target Christians for just that, because they are Christians.
Let's go to another region, Russia. Let's talk about that, because with all of the war going on in Ukraine, there's been some news of persecution against the Ukrainian church. What can you tell us about Vladimir Putin and what's going on in Russia right now?
Well, he's a killer. He's not anybody you could trust. He is not a religious figure, but he'll use religion in his country. He'll use anything to stay in power and to get the populace stirred up. So, but they have attacked a lot of churches. They've killed pastors, tortured them within Ukraine. And so it's more than warfare. You get the warfare, and there's going to be mass murder and decimation. That's obviously going on. But they've also targeted the evangelicals. And the Ukrainian Orthodox Church it's always been hostile towards evangelicals. So that's kind of an overlay of what's going on there.
We're talking with Jeff King, president of International Christian Concern. You know, would you explain to our listeners the difference between Muslim persecutions of believers and Marxist and their persecution of believers? On one hand, we could understand how a radical religion like Islam would persecute believers, but a Marxist, by definition, is an atheist. So why are they so adamant to persecute evangelical Christians?
Yeah, well, I would say let's go at a really deep level. And the answer is, what kind of spiritual force is this? The Bible talks about spiritual kingdoms and spirits, they're influencing human beings. And so there is a deep hatred. There has always been, from the founder of Marxism, there's a deep hatred of Christians. And so that's always in there. And in the end, nowadays, all these Marxist states are mafias. So they are all about money and staying in control and power. There's very few people in these movements that really believe in Marxism. But they are mafias, and just look how a mafia operates. Any threat to its power, the knives and the bullets come out. And so that's what you're seeing. It is a threat. And North Korea might be one of the most interesting examples, because they created a whole religious system. And all the Marxist governments do this, but they're brilliant at the level they did it at, because they created basically a church. You show up on Sunday and you gather together as a community, you confess your sins, and then you're reading from the Bible, except the Bible is all about statements from the leaders and the core teachings of the party. And so that's in practice. And then they even had a replacement. There's a replacement theology. It's called Juche, but it's all modeled on the church. And they're like, we need to kill off the church, but people are religious, so we'll provide this for them. And that's what they're constantly at work at. But, all the Marxists hate Christianity.
I want to get your opinion on what you believe will happen with the new Trump administration, because there is an openness to hearing about persecuted Christians. He's been very outspoken that Christians should be protected, more protected legally in this country. Do you think he's going to take a greater role in helping persecuted believers in some of these countries that you're representing?
Yeah, just last week I was talking with one of the high officials of the previous Trump administration and asking him, I was saying I was just doubtful that they could recreate what they built in the first administration. It was a real dream team for religious freedom. And the official said, and I was saying, look, oh my gosh, Rubio is such a great start. Our organization has worked with him closely for years, and to the point where he would stand up in the Senate in confirmation hearings for ambassadors and say, ICC says this. What do you say? What are you going to do? So that's Rubio. But, he's constrained, and he is a voice among many for they're all pulling in different directions. So he is great on religious freedom, and he'll appoint good people. There's a key office or a department within the State Department. But you've got to get to the president's ear, and there's a lot of other voices, and there's not as many Christians this time around. So we'll see. The jury's still out. So it's hopeful because of Rubio. But, Rubio, look at him. He is very strong on supporting Ukraine. And he had to sit in that crazy meeting with Zelensky and sit there and bite his tongue. So that's kind of the picture of what's going on.
Okay. Well, that's a great point of prayer that we need to be aware of.
Praying absolutely. For the
praying that those voices would reach him. Jeff, are there areas where you see the church is gaining any ground amidst persecution, whether it's in Asia or Africa or Central America?
Jeff, that's probably the favorite thing I like to talk about. When you do persecution work, Jeff, for 20 years, you can get pretty discouraged. It's a continual flow of murder and bloodshed. And I'm a student of the Bible. I'm a complete believer in the Bible. I know the church wins in the end. I know the Lord wins in the end. There's a river that flows from heaven, and it starts as a trickle and turns into a stream and then a river and then a giant river, and then it covers the whole earth. Yeah. And we're in the midst of watching that. But if you look, if you're down in the details, you just say, what is to happen? We are sheep among wolves. But if you look at Iran or you look at China, you see something. China, the church was not anywhere near as big today as when the communists took over. And they murdered their way and jailed their way through the leadership of the church, and it got stronger and stronger. So there might be 200 million Christians in China now, and a vibrant, dedicated church. Look at Iran. The Ayatollahs came in. They said, we're going to build a proper Islamic state. We're going to take Islam to the world through this country. And everyone was so excited. And then over time, though, the people got more and more disenchanted, first with the leadership, and then with the system of government. And then finally, Jeff, they got sick of Islam. They said, Islam is the problem. And so today the mosques are empty, but the church is exploding. Probably one of the very top few countries where Christianity is growing the most. And this is the story of persecution, and they have so much to teach us.
Wow. I appreciate the fact that you're bringing that out, because believers are not aware of that. That doesn't make the headlines on the evening news, you know. And we need to know how God has moving through these countries to bring people to himself in spite of persecution. So I appreciate International Christian Concern and the fact that you highlight that. Tell us a little bit about the 2025 Global Persecution Index and the scope of that report. How many countries do you represent? What can people do with this resource when they access it?
Yeah, well, this is an annual report we put out basically on world persecution. And Jeff, as you know, persecution is, you know, you could just think of our conversation here. It's a complicated topic happening all over different circumstances of the country. So you can imagine the journalist trying to cover it and understand it, or the legislator, people in the legislature on a national level. Think of all they have to cover. So they may care, but it's like, someone help me with this. Tell me where the problems are and what the issues are and who the players are. That's what we create. And we look at it through the lens of who are players, who are organizations, what are the worst countries, what are the drivers. So we put that out every year, and it's a resource for the whole church. And it's a tremendous, if you see it in your hand, you'll understand. It's 100 pages long and with tremendous research behind it. So, on the one hand, we create it for legislative leaders as well as journalists, but the common man can pick it up and get so much understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, it's a wonderful report, and we highly encourage people to download a copy of that. The website to get that report is simply persecution.org, persecution.org, the website for International Christian Concern. Jeff King, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for your insight and what's going on in the world, and for giving us the encouragement that we need to pray for believers every single day. Thanks for being with us.
And your work too. So appreciate you guys.
Next time, we'll take a look at President Trump's executive order protecting women and calling for an end to transgender ideology. Dr. Robert Gagnon, a world-renowned expert on biblical sexuality, will join us. If you've enjoyed today's program, you'll love The Stand magazine. Get your free trial subscription at afa.net/thestand. And get all of these programs as podcasts on iTunes and Spotify, and look for us on afr.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next time on The Stand Radio.